Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family, brothers and sisters. I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on a very precious subject, and that is the subject of the presence of the Lord. And we were looking at a chapter in 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, that talks about David's heart and hunger and desire for the very presence of the Lord. He did a remarkable, an amazing thing, because while the blood sacrifices were continued to be offered by the priesthood on Gibeon, nonetheless, he wanted to take the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testament, the very presence of God, where God would meet with Moses when, after it had been constructed, there was the tent, and he would go into it and commune with the Lord. He wanted to bring that Ark into the city of David, and he wanted and did establish round-the-clock worship before the presence of the Lord. I believe all of this a prophetic expression of what God was going to do in the new covenant, in the end times, a work of the body of believers. And so David, because of his love and his heart after God, he wanted God's presence. He did a very radical and remarkable thing. And so let me share with you 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. And David went up, and all of Israel, because he consulted with leaders, with the people, and they said, oh, this is a great idea, let's do it. And they went to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. They were watching it, and David and all of Israel played. They were worshiping and dancing before the Lord with all of their might. They were rejoicing. They were happy. They were thrilled. Israel was united and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Verse 11 says, and David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez-Uzzah to this day. And this, what was in the midst of a joyous celebration, suddenly turned to tragedy. And David, they stopped their celebration, they stopped the procession, and he began to learn some very important lessons that God wanted to demonstrate to him and all of Israel, and that we as New Testament believers should also possess. And that first lesson, three very important lessons I'd like to share with you about the presence of the Lord that David learned. Number one, awareness, repentance, and obedience. First understanding is that of awareness. Awareness, what does that mean? The recognition of God's holy divine nature, accompanied by a reverence and a fear of the Lord. We can see very clearly, even though their hearts were pure and sincere, they were doing it in a way that they thought was right. They had a brand new cart, and they put the Ark of the Lord upon it. However, as we discovered, and as David later discovered as they consulted the Word of the Lord, that that was not how God instructed the Ark of the Lord to be carried. It was to be carried through the rings that were there, putting staves through that, and carried upon the shoulders of the priest. So the first very important important lesson David learned and we must learn if we would desire the presence of God to be with us in a powerful, meaningful way. We must approach the presence of God by doing it His way, not ours. Proverbs tells us, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And so, as we look at the ark, the very symbol of the presence of God, let's just do a bit of review in terms of the history of the ark. The Philistines, remember, the ark had been captured by them, was 7 months in the land of the Philistines, and they had a terrible time. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them. It destroyed them and smote them with emerods. They sent the ark back to Israel with a trespass offering. They said, if it goes up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he, God, hath done this great evil. If not, then we shall know that it was chance. And of course, the cows that they used were milk cows. They had young calves, and so it was an extraordinary thing, and against their natural instinct to be separated from their calves, but they went obediently in obedience to God's direction, and it's a beautiful lesson of the Lord's faithfulness to his people. And so what happened? When the men of Israel, the men of Beth Shemesh, when they saw the ark, they rejoiced, and they cut up or clave the wood of the ark, and they offered the cows a burnt offering unto the Lord. However, they also needed to learn a lesson, because it says the men of Beth Shemesh had dared to look into the ark of the Lord. And God spoke to the people, 50,000 and 80 men. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And whom shall he go up from us? We know that God demands respect, awareness. He is a holy God. Remember, under the old covenant, the high priest could only come one day a year after offering sacrifice and on the Day of Atonement to offer atonement for all of the people. Only he was allowed into the holiest of holies. But thank God, we now, through the blood of Jesus, Hebrews talks about the veil of his flesh being rent and torn. That's one of the reasons Brother Glass years ago chose the name Unveiled Christ. It means the veil of his flesh was torn, and he now stands as the resurrected Lord of glory, as John saw revealed in vision, as the opening pages of the book of Revelation display him. And so we are under, it is true, a new dispensation of grace and God's mercy, but the character and nature of God is still the same. Remember, there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning with our God. And so, in order to experience the very presence of God, not just in a personal way, but in our corporate meetings, that church is not just a social club. It's not just a seeker-friendly place where we can make the gospel palatable to those who are in the world, but it's a place where God's holy presence should be welcomed and invited, and the Holy Spirit allowed to move as he desires, to bring conviction, to allow the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the five ascension gifts ministry, prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, they were given for a purpose until we all come into the unity of the faith under the measure of the stature of a perfect man. And so the reverence for the holiness of God and the fear of God needs to be restored to the hearts of God's people. Do we have authority? Absolutely. That's what Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Over all, you can tread on serpents and scorpions. Nothing shall by any means harm you. We know in Job 22:28, it says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established to you. Isaiah 45:11 says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. So God indeed invites his people to partner with his express will, but we don't, in an arrogant way, shake the Bible in God's face and say, God, you said, so you're going to have to do this. No, we serve a holy God. I'm found so moving those beautiful passages in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, when Isaiah, speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit, declared, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him?" He's asking questions. Who taught God? Who directed him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations are before him as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is the God that we serve. Whenever we see God appearing, the angel of the Lord, unto the servants of the Lord in the Bible, they fell prostrate on their face before him. The beloved apostle who leaned upon Jesus' breath, when he saw the unveiled Christ in all of his glory, he fell before him as dead. Beloved, this is the God we serve, a God of glory and honor and majesty. And we, like David, need to learn that important lesson, whether in our corporate services, whether in our personal time, that we approach him in great privilege, given power and authority, with the awareness that he's a holy God and he deserves honor, fear, and reverence. Holy fear, not a shrinking fear, but an understanding and awareness, as David learned, of the holiness of our God. Lord, may you grant that to all of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, there's more lessons that David learned, and I want to share them with you as we continue on in the broadcast. I invite you to tune in tomorrow. The announcer will give our contact information. If you have prayer needs, do share them, and I will pray for them as I do for my UCM partners and my radio family every day. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.